Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the amazing Fountain City Radio in Columbus, Georgia, in the Valley and surrounding areas. News, thought, talk, speculation, and features with local talented artists and entertainers. Listen in or speak out. The choice is always yours, but tune in and get turned on, because good stuff is always coming at you on Fountain City Radio. Sponsored by Kingstown Family Foundation, Fountain City Radio is designed with you and yours in mind.
Good evening. It's 6 o'clock on 12/14/2018. That's December 14th, 6 PM. This is Fountain City Radio, and I am your host, Shereen Renee. I am the pastor of Open Book Ministries, and I'm also the owner of Kingstown Family Foundation, right here in the Tri-City area. I wanted to say good evening and welcome to all of our guests for tonight. Our topic for this evening is, why do the youth in Columbus call Columbus Killumbus, K-I-L-L-U-M-B-U-S? As many of you know, most of you know by now, I left Columbus, Georgia in about 1990-91, and I was gone for a period of about 25 years, more or less. I came back here to visit relatives here and there, but for the most part, was gone, lived out on the West Coast in Arizona and California for about 4 years or so. I've been back and forth, traveled back and forth across the country, Northern California, Southern California, Phoenix, Tempe, Mesa. A lot of you know about that critical part of being in Mesa. But anyway, when I came back to Columbus in 2015, I discovered a lot of changes. A lot of things had changed. A lot of things had were different. And then, you know, most of the stuff that I knew about stayed the same. You know how the saying goes, the more things change, the more they stay the same. A lot of things 25 years later that were still here that surprised me, things like Buck Ice and Cold and there's Mr. T sitting on the corner of Salvatore Road, and then they were still here at the time. They moved since I got back here. The hospital had pretty much changed, and as some of you know, when we lived on the other end of Columbus, the lower end of, the lower end of 18th Street, down below the medical center, my grandfather, Robert Doctor, was the last person to move off of 18th Street, sold his home and moved on Raglan Court. And the garden area over by what used to be known at the time as Doctor's Hospital, that little patch of land out there that doesn't have any parking lot or anything, was never paved over or anything. That was my grandmother's land. That was her landline where her home stood, where we lived from the 1960s all the way until they moved to Raglan Court. And her tree, my grandmother's tree, is still sitting there. They since put acid in it and burn it out and everything, but that's my grandmother's tree that I used to climb up when I was a child. It's still sitting there on that piece of land. But the more amazing thing is, growing up in Columbus, crime was not or did not seem to be as much of a problem as it is now. We had our breakouts, we had our fights, we had our people who got killed over 50-cent card games and alcohol knife fights and people getting busted over the head with bottles and that kind of thing. But for the most part, by the time I left Columbus, you probably hear of a murder maybe two or three times a year, if that. You know, sometimes we go for a whole year and nobody would kill anybody, seriously. But two, three times a year, no more than five times a year do I ever remember hearing about murder. And I come back to Columbus, and it seems like the murders that are going on in this, what I consider to be a small city now, it used to be a little town, but now it's a small city, seem to be happening every day, or at least every other day. You know, and instead of two or three, four times a year, it's like it's every other day now. Today, December 14th, we get the news through WTVM that somebody's running all over the city threatening to bomb people. And nobody's clear about what's being done about any of that, if any places were evacuated or anything of that nature. And here recently, we had a killing that took place on Martin Luther King. A young guy, I believe it was Derek Scott, was murdered. And what's really so hurtful, shall I say, about this one is it appeared that the guys who came to Derek Scott's house over on MLK to kill him literally saw themselves being videotaped on a camera, and they appeared to sit there and actually pose for the camera, look right at the camera, pose for the camera like, what? You know, what you gonna do? And I don't know exactly how everything went down. I didn't read the details because it's getting so, it's getting so horrible that I'm actually, to tell you the truth about it, I'm actually tired of talking about it. Okay, that's just tired of talking about it. It's wearing, and as I'm sure I'm not the only person that's wearing down, wearing thin about this constant killing. We got murder trials going on to the point where somebody say things like, you say something about that murder trial and somebody look at you and ask you which one. I mean, like that. It's just like that. And it seems like just no sooner than they can get rid of one trial, one murder trial, another one happens right behind it. Like it's going around in circles nonstop. And it's not just Columbus. Let me say that. It's not just Columbus. The Sam's apartment on MLK where the young man was killed the other night. I think he was 34 years old. My grandfather lived right there, right around the corner from there on Raglan Court. After they sold their house on 18th Street, they moved to Raglan Court, which is right around the corner from those apartments. And seems like it's nonstop. As soon as they get rid of one trial, another one's coming, and then another murder's happening behind that, knowing that somebody is sooner or later going to get caught, and there'll be yet another trial and another trial. There are some people that may want to take a moment and start talking about draining city finances and things of that nature, but it's not just about the money that it's costing to do all these trials, and stop wondering why it is that Columbus doesn't have any money. And can't hire anybody because all the resources are being drained on crime, it seems like, and there's no money available to do anything else when you're constantly having to spend it on chasing down criminals and chasing down finding people and holding these trials and stuff. All the city's resources are being drained and going toward hunting down all these murderers and having all these trials, and there's no money left there to do anything else, barely enough there to hire police officers to keep up with it. And we were talking to Skip Henderson here on Fountain City Radio just not that long ago, a few months ago, incoming mayor-elect Skip Henderson, who will be sworn in next month behind outgoing mayor Teresa Tomlinson. And he mentioned on that radio show that he was highly, his number one priority going in office was going to be addressing the crime issues in Columbus. And I'm curious as to what kind of a difference Skip Henderson is planning on making just in 2019 alone. Will he have brought Columbus back to two or three, maybe four or five murders a year by the end of the year? Miracle that that sounds like it could be by the end of the year, but 2019. But we weren't like this. We weren't like this. I didn't grow up in a Columbus where there was a killing. Some young person, usually the majority of them are under the age of 40, every other day. The drug trafficking, the everything that's going on is draining people, it's wearing out the resources. And one man mentioned the other day that it was funny how we have so many, Columbus has seems like a church on every corner, or and three or four churches in between each corner. And a man was mentioning the other day he used to practice Satanism, and he said that one of the main problems with the preachers nowadays is they can preach people happy and don't know how to preach them free. And that stuck with me. Preach people happy but can't preach them free, because there's some serious bondage. Serious bondage going on in town, where somebody's being killed every other day, if not every day, where there's a murder trial right behind another murder trial, and you wonder what's going on in people's minds. Is Columbus the town with a quarter of a million people in this new Jack City? Because all of this type of activity and things of this nature only went on in the bigger cities that I lived in. Atlanta, population at one time mushroomed to 8 million people during the Hurricane Katrina debacle back in 2005. And the population has since dropped back off to, I believe, about 2 million, more or less. But at one time, it mushroomed at 8 million people and was picking up until people discovered that Atlanta was just too crowded and started leaving. And cities like Los Angeles, I lived in south of Los Angeles, actually in San Bernardino County, and then northern East Bay area, about 30, 45 minutes or so from San Francisco, large city, metropolitan area, or shall I say metropolis. And I was born in Denver, grew up in Detroit, big metropolis, Detroit. So for me, a quarter of a million people is it's not a little town anymore, but it's a small size city. When you're accustomed to living in a city of over a million people, 2 and 3 and 4 million people, you begin to understand that there is the high potential there every day for a murder. But when you live in a town of just a quarter of a million people, and the majority of the folks being murdered out here right now under the age of 40, the vast majority of them, you begin to wonder just exactly what in the world is going on with a small city with this many people in it, with this low a number of people in it, as far as what I'm accustomed to, and the same kind of thing is going on that you would expect to hear about in a metropolis area, in Atlanta, in San Francisco, in L.A., in New York, even in places like Bergen County, New Jersey, places, big cities like that where you would probably expect to hear it. And you're getting it here as if Columbus is quarter of a million people are just trying to reduce the population down to 100,000 or so. But anyway, long story short, we've had killings over in East Highland, the East Highland area, that have been talked about with the city council and the mayor and Mayor Tomlinson and the police department and some of the people at the police department, of course, the people that patrol the East Highland area, Just all over the city, but Columbus is by far not the only place where this is going on. It seems like the crime has risen even in rural areas. I could drive from here to a place near some of the other rural areas around Columbus and find that crime is worse now than it was 25 years ago, even 10 years ago. Like, it's getting worse by the second. By the moment. And I'm curious, like I said, in a city with a church on every corner and three or four churches, storefront churches and small shack churches and trailer churches in between those corners, how in the world crime and murder and this kind of thing could have gotten this out of hand in such a small city that doesn't have a whole lot of people to lose, especially youth. There's a lot of things outstanding here, family issues, where a lot of these young people feel unloved and unwanted in their families, and they go out to find themselves a gang to be with, and other issues where money is an issue because jobs are short here, but jobs have always been short here. And a few jobs that have always been available here, they're seldom paid. But then my understanding on returning here about three and a half years ago was that Columbus was one of the biggest concentrated areas of multimillionaires, and Muskogee County itself had the largest concentration of billionaires in the state of Georgia. Now, this is news that was fed to me. I don't know if it's true, but if that is true, the biggest concentration of billionaires in the state of Georgia live in Muskogee County. If it's true that a lot of millionaires live in Columbus, if it's true what I heard in an actual magazine about 7 or 8 years ago, that this is one of the cities in the state of Georgia that has the largest concentration of black people who make six-figure salaries. You're a lot of black people right here in Columbus, Georgia, make $100,000 or more a year. Then what is the problem with being able to find jobs and good-paying jobs? And the little jobs that are out there that are available are little teeny tiny jobs that don't pay anything, don't have any, barely any benefits, and definitely do not have a future. And I guess the big time jobs are being passed around, the ones with futures and money and benefits and all that kind of stuff are being handed around privately between owners and friends and their families. And everybody else is just A out. But at the end of the day, my talking with some of the police officers and the sheriff's department, a lot of these kids, younger people, shall we say, excuse for doing this thing is looking for belongingness, looking for family roots that they don't have for whatever reason, and also the money factor. But I was mentioning to somebody that the weird part of it is growing up and not dealing with this all the time, all day, every day. Maybe a murder three or four times a year, if that. We're also living in a generation that grew out of the 1980s with Reagan and the Sandinistas and the Contras and the whole crack cocaine epidemic that spread out from Southern California all the way across the country, and a whole lot of crack babies were born, and those crack babies have come of age and started having children of their own. And the unfortunate news is some of those children were born high. They were born high. They came into this world already strung out on crack. And That's one of the largest explanations that I can think of right now for why the children and that we have in this day and age are carrying on the way that they're carrying on was why it feels so weird to those of us who grew up in the 60s and 70s and even the early 80s that it's so strange. But we're growing up in a generation of people who gave birth to a whole lot of crack babies that we felt like we had to go around and save them, save the babies and all this other kind of stuff. Well, they came of age and started having children of their own. And like I said, some of these children were born high, even though that by far is not an excuse and not the only one. So don't get it twisted. I'm not saying that there are a bunch of crack babies and crackheads and all of them are high and they were born that way and they just can't help themselves. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that that's probably more than likely part of the reason that we're seeing this strange business going on with everything we're seeing right now and how the world is changing and how good is bad, bad is good, things are being switched out. All of a sudden it's okay to do wrong and it's not so okay to be right about anything. So, I mean, we have churches, plenty of them. We have people preaching out of pulpits. We have people that can't get folks into church to preach them free, let alone preach them happy. And so if you've got all these churches and you can't get people to come to them, and there's so many of them, and they're so split off and diverse and all over the place, and each church within itself, in and of itself, has become a clique. And don't get me wrong, I'm a licensed minister. I have an honorary doctorate in divinity, but I didn't come to start another church. The last thing Columbus, Georgia needs right now is another building with a name tag on the front of it hollering about we're so and such a church and I preach of this and I preach of that. Columbus needs every last one of those ministers to get out of those churches and start hitting these streets. Because when the day comes that you can march up and down Manchester Expressway where there's nothing but a bunch of businesses and a hospital and nothing but businesses and ain't too much going on over there by the way of crime, but you can't walk down 21st, 22nd, 24th, 28th Street and do the same thing, you know, pastors get together walking and marching down Manchester Expressway talking about stop the crime, and the crime ain't going on over there on Manchester Expressway. Something ain't right about that either. Maybe they, when they have a march like that, they need to hit the areas in town where the crime is the worst and start marching down those streets, police escorts and all, and see if that makes a difference to let the people know that the city knows where they are and that wherever they're hiding, they can't hide there forever. Sooner or later, they're going to be found and found out and dragged out and brought to, held to an accounting for what they've done. They call it Killumbus because it's every other day now, if not every day, you're hearing about a murderer here, and I noticed that it was spray painted on some rocks near the Applebee's at one point. The Applebee's that's across from Peachtree Mall. Well, what you said, and speaking of Peachtree Mall, it wasn't that long ago that a murder happened over there. It wasn't that long ago that we had an active shooter walking down my street. It wasn't that long ago that we've had several drive-bys just in East Holland alone. And speaking with the Columbus Police Department and the Sheriff's Department, East Holland, of course, isn't the only one. We've got 80 neighborhood watch groups around here, and the police are all over the place, 24/7, putting out little fires, middle-sized fires, and big fires all day, every day. And the resources are stretched. And Skip Henderson did talk about the police not being paid enough here. We're losing troops to bigger cities that are paying more, but I got to ask the question. The obvious one, the one with the duh factor behind it, is how much money is enough money? to continually put your life on the line in that manner? How much compensation is enough compensation to come out every day and potentially put your head in a sling where somebody could decide to just up and kill you? Don't even care. It could be a police officer. It's gotten to the point where a lot of police officers are afraid to come out and even deal with this, because it's not even about the money anymore. It's like there ain't enough. You know, I'll be a police officer and show some presence and, you know, show some presence and let people know that we're watching. But if people start shooting, I'm going the other way. You know, and you almost can't blame them. You almost can't blame them. And so when you live in a city that's so besieged by crime that the police don't even want to deal with it, that the police can be fearful, that the police have started running, then you know you're living in New Jack City, and it's going to take some old man that ain't scared of Nino Brown to bust out from somewhere and start handling some business. And you know, and the unfortunate news is Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter can't even make it a race issue. White people killing white people, black people killing black people, folks of other races killing people of other races. Murder is just murder. It don't come in a skin color. But when it even comes down to Black Lives Matter, the same people that balk about children being whipped don't mind them being beaten to death and shot by police. People that are hollering Black Lives Matter, they sit in your neighborhood and your black life doesn't seem to mean a hill of beans to them. Seems like they're being real picky about whose black life matters and when. So, like I said, it's not even a race thing. Murder's murder. You know, we could talk about the race thing at some later time. Maybe Johnny Warner will come on and talk to us about some of the issues we've had in Columbus with the racism. We've invited him on the show a couple of times, but he's been busy. Maybe he'll accept that one day, and we'll talk about that. But for tonight, we got about 2 minutes and 30 seconds down on the show. We're coming to the end of the show for this evening. We'll be back tomorrow night talking about some other stuff that's going on in the Tri-City area around Columbus, the big fountain city right down here in Midwest Georgia, right across the pond, the long pond from Phenix City, Alabama. But we'll be back tomorrow night, 6 p.m. on Fountain City Radio, and talk about some other stuff that's happening around the city, and maybe even at some point bring Mayor-elect, and soon will be Mayor Skip Henderson, back on the show to talk about some of his initiatives and objectives for bringing down the crime rate in Columbus. Until then, we'll see you tomorrow night, 6 p.m. on Fountain City Radio. Thank you so much for joining me. We'll talk to you again tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. Godspeed, everybody. Take care of yourself out there. Be safe.
You're listening to the amazing Fountain City Radio in Columbus, Georgia, in the Valley and surrounding areas. News, thoughts, talk, speculation, and features with local talented artists and entertainers. Listen in or speak out. The choice is always yours, but tune in and get turned on, because good stuff is always coming at you on Fountain City Radio. Sponsored by Kingstown Family Foundation, Fountain City Radio is designed with you and yours in mind.